Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What's up, everybody?
What's happening, family?
And welcome back to another episode of Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? My name is Angel Tanksley, and I have the absolute pleasure of doing a podcast with the love of my life and the co-host. Tell them who you are, baby.
I'm Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank. That's who I am.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a podcast. If this is your first time tuning into this podcast, this is a podcast we do every single week but one throughout the year, and have done that for quite some time, but not for the length of the podcast, which is going on almost 10 years.
Yeah.
We do this podcast every single week with each other because we are friends, we are family, we are lovers,
mm-hmm.
we are frenemies sometimes.
Yeah.
And we do this podcast every single week with our Patreon, okay? We call them our immediate family. You can be a part of that immediate family. If you want to know what that immediate family is, that is people that we are closer to, just like your immediate family, maybe, if you like them. And we do extra things. We talk to them before and after. We talk about stuff that the general population does not see. It's just for Patreon. You can be a part of that. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/thatchickangel. Sign up for the low, low of $5 a month. It's been the $5 since the conception of
our Patreon.
The Patreon. And it ain't going nowhere. Inflation don't affect that as long as you come join.
Come on, somebody. Oh, come on, somebody. I didn't sing at the top, but now I'm going to sing that wop. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You didn't tell them who else we were joined by.
We are joined by our sponsor today, BetterHelp.
Hey. We'll tell you more about them later on in the podcast.
Absolutely.
Y'all know I usually sing somewhere in the podcast. We should start making a bet of when that singing is going to happen. Marcus used to sing during the podcast, and then he became Stingy. Stingy McGee could have been done giving the people what they want, which is a little scooby dooby doo doo doo. Yeah. I had to sing with you while you were drinking. Anyways, you can listen to this podcast wherever podcasts are found. You can watch it on That Chick Angel TV. You can follow us on social media. I'm pretty much That Chick Angel everywhere. Marcus is a bunch of things that aren't on that platform.
Exactly.
So Marcus ain't on the gram. Marcus ain't on the book. Tank don't talk. So for the content in between, you can go over there. So how you been, boo?
I've been good. I've been great. Did a little hiking thing with the family. Not hiking, camping thing with the family this past weekend. I've been Gucci. Something's got on my nerves a little bit. But how you been?
I'm great. I definitely am amping up my mind, my schedule for all the things that I allowed myself to get roped into. And I am praying
something
that
you volunteered for.
What'd you say?
Something you volunteered for.
No, No, everything I have.
You voluntarily agreed.
I was trying to make sure I wasn't lying. There was only one position that I signed up for, and that was dealing with the kids' school. Everything else was, hey, we really think you would be great. Would you consider?
The power of no.
Oh, no is definitely possible. That's no, I'm not saying not. That I couldn't have no, said no. No, it's not. You hear no?
Yeah, I'm the only one.
That you heard yesterday, did you?
Did I heard, you? Mm-hmm.
Nah. That's what you gave me with mm-hmm.
What was I going to say?
What?
So I said, you just feeling, you amping up your mind and feeling busy?
Amping up my mind to make sure I don't do a bad job at anything. Really. I'm be honest. I don't want to be a bad wife. I don't want to be a bad mother. And I don't want to be bad any of the things that I have signed up for. Mm. So just amping up for that. Wait a minute. Somebody in our Patreon said, now we done pissed IG off. Who we piss off? How yeah, we
that's
do
what
that?
I was, that's what I was about to ask. I ain't want to cut you off.
Come in here and I'm being, oh. Is she talking about, oh, we had a clip last week that has had really high engagement, and I wonder if that's what it is that she's referring to. Last week, if you watch last week's episode, which you should, and watch it in its entirety, not because I think, oh, you need content. Okay, I was right. Okay. That you need all this context. But last week, we had a really great discussion, in my opinion, about how sex has changed for us over the years. And I feel like we both were being honest and vulnerable, even though I wouldn't have said vulnerable because I'm comfortable talking about I'm comfortable talking about sex. And there were a lot of people who, one, so funny, assumed so many things from the little bit that we shared. And two,
people assume so much.
And two, virtue signal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, no, you know.
We've been married 50 years, and I still get excited. You don't have the energy to get excited in your 50s and 60s as you did in your damn 20s.
And if you if you're that excited and you are married and have kids around the ages of us, our kids, like in the thick, because we're in the thick of parenting. We're not towards the end of it.
Right.
We are in the middle of it. You need to go see a doctor because no. And I don't mean it in a bad way. That's abnormal.
Yeah.
We are.
And abnormal means it's not the normal. So there's a lot of people. Is at that abnormal level?
Yeah.
Virtue signaling.
And I'm not. Listen.
Look, I'm happy if that's what you live in.
Right. But I'm saying go to a doctor and find out. Is it your vitamins that you're taking?
Yeah,
is
they
it
need
your
to study
diet?
That
they,
and get it out to the populace.
And give it to the rest of the world. If you are.
We got too much going on to get that excited about.
Right. Because if you are in your mid 40s and you have as many children, because the children are a big piece of this puzzle.
Yes.
Age is a piece, but the responsibility of being a thick of parenting.
6-year-old, 10-year-olds, 15-year-old, all in different stages, teaching them how to drive, teaching them how to do other stuff, and just trying to teach him not to be an asshole.
Right.
It's a lot.
So if you somehow are still jovially excited about sex like you were in your 20s, go to the doctor, let them study you so that the information can be given to the rest of the world.
And then you got the other idiots who, you know, it's a saying, lions don't concern themselves with the opinions of sheep. Those are the ones. Y'all, get a side piece. This is for grown folks. Shut up.
They said she'd be excited to do it with a side person. I don't think you understand my tiredness. There is nobody.
These is people making, if it was a financial level, you got billionaires and people making minimum wage working part-time. That's like the difference when you got somebody young and dumb and single versus people well into their marriages and children and no infidelity and faithfulness and building businesses. We not on the same. You on the beach. We are on a yacht. That's the difference. Like You on a floaty, floating in the shallow end, having fun, split splashing with your friends. We in the deep end of this marriage.
I just was like, wait a minute. I think y'all are confused on what gets me turned on to have sex. And if you think it's just a ripped body, you're very confused.
Yeah, because my body done been in all the stages. Ripped, chubby.
And I be liking my man. So it's not, oh, somebody new or something different. I'm tired. And yes, we do have the benefit in some of the double-edged, it's not even a double-edged sword. It's like the pros and cons. We have the benefit of we are together.
Yeah.
So I know that over there is mine and I can pretty much go get it whenever I want to. I did it to this analogy of if we were to buy a house with a pool, I probably would be like, oh my God, I have a pool. Oh my God, I have a pool. Like for the first maybe year. After that year, I'm not going to be screaming, oh my God, I have a pool. I'm still going to enjoy swimming.
Because you know it's your pool.
I'm still going to enjoy swimming. Just not going to be screaming that I have a pool. And in their mind, they're like, but if you were to get a new pool, no, I have a pool. It's great.
I don't need to go to the neighbor's pool. Right. I don't get excited for the pool at the hotel because I'm used to having a pool.
A pool, yeah. So I'm not going to get excited to go jump in another pool. I have a pool, a really nice pool that is well maintained, taken care of.
It's like, I have to change the analogy a little bit, but it's like, you know, when you're younger, it's almost like you want to have sex as many times as you possibly can every single time. And it's like the old bull, young bull mentality. It's mm-hmm. like the young bull said, let's run down here and have sex with one of these calves. And the old bull says, or we could walk down and have sex with all of them. Meaning we can just take our time and have sex whenever we want.
Right.
Why do we have to jump up and get all excited like a little adolescent? Yes. See, like, I know if I ain't going to get, she ain't feel like it this morning. Cool. This afternoon, this evening, bet. And this has been going on for 20 damn years. What are you talking about?
But it was nice to share that while there were ignorant comments, there were a lot of comments where people felt seen. They felt like, okay, girl, that's exactly what's happening over here.
The people, if you know, you know. And it was even people in there, because I had to pull out because the, not actually, does. I never pull out. But that's I had to get away from the comments because I was like, okay, yeah, people get it. But then when you come across something ignorant, it's still difficult for me to just walk away from an ignorant ass comment.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh, you ignorant on purpose. You wasn't born that dumb. You just got that dumb.
Like, yeah. It's definitely interesting. I was actually having this conversation last night. I was at the rap party for Bel Air and I ran into Neil. He was at.
I was like Neo.
No, Neil. He was in Brescia and Nick's wedding, the one who did the long speech that never ended.
Oh, yeah.
Him and his wife were there. And he was telling me that he's back in school finishing his degree. And I was like, okay, what are you getting your degree in? He was like, poli sci. I was like, political science? I said, are you going to go to law school after this? He was like, no. He was like, I wanted to get it so that my currency in conversations when talking about politics is higher. I want to know that I know what I'm talking about and really understanding not just the political landscape right now, but in its entirety as far as in American history. And I was like, oh, I said, that's amazing. He was like, I don't want to just speak from black intellectualism. He was like, because I do have that. He was like, I want to know that I know. And that's when we started talking about my misperception. I said for the longest time, I thought everybody was pretty much as smart as me, if not smarter. Even the boys that were in slower classes, because a lot of times it would be boys. I just figured they just weren't applying themselves. And in a lot of cases, that was the truth.
Yeah.
They weren't applying themselves. But as I've gotten older, and it's more so being in the career that I'm in where people love to tell me their thoughts back, and that's fine. Like, that's a part of this. Mm-hmm. They tell me what they think back. And also just being on social media, if I'm scrolling and watching content and then I look at the comments, I'm seeing what people say back to the content. I was like, I'm realizing I've grossly overestimated people's intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah. And so he was, there's stuff that he was saying that I don't think he would want me to say publicly, but of just how working with different groups of people, of how there are certain groups of people of certain race that are overwhelmingly ignorant.
Yeah.
He was like, and then there's us in these professional settings that are extremely to the point that he's like, I feel dumb. When I work with us as professionals, typically the intelligence in the room is insane.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm like, oh, I need to get back in the books and I need to read. So I say all that to say, once I came to the realization that I was overestimating people's intelligence, mm-hmm. comments bother me so much less
than what they ever did. I'm getting there. Like, the more I see it, the more I'm getting there. And I didn't really know how to put it because, like, this was actually when we were still doing Let Us Tell It. And, you know, we would talk about the difference between the online presence of men and fathers and husbands versus what's in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And people was like, no, black men, no, them stereotypes is true. Our own people saying, you know, no, men don't want to get married. And I'm like, I don't know. People, our single homegirls is always running to me like, where are your single friends? I'm like, most of the men I know are married.
Yeah.
Faithfully married.
Mm-hmm.
Been married. And people on, you know, in the chat of Let Us Tell, they was like, no, nope, that's just y'all's group. We see y'all's group, and that's just y'all's little group. No. The people that y'all see that I know, and I said this on there, people that y'all see I know, I've only known these people about 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Kevs. That's the Keons. I've just met these people. I'm talking about people I've known since I was a baby.
Yeah.
People I went to school with. People I went to college, to elementary, middle, high, because I'm from Kentucky, small town. So you keep in touch with people. You see people, all of them people, all those dudes. Most of those dudes are married or have been married and now looking for another wife because of divorce or had a couple of, you know, tragedies.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the market, actively looking for a spouse. People I met in college. People I met before I moved to California. Now that I moved to California that aren't on social media. All of them people. All them dudes, married, children, or engaged.
Right.
Like people, I even know dudes that said they would never get married, which was fine because I knew people out there like it. Not everybody wants to be married or have a family. And he was always like, yes, it's just not for me, which I get. It ain't like he was hoeing around. He's actually a very like noble dude. Everybody that knows him like, man, he's such a good dude. Such a good dude. And he is. And then lo and behold, I met his friend. And then I met her again. And then, wait, I done met this girl for the third time. You done brought her around. What's up with this? Oh, you know, then the next time I said, yeah, so, yeah, can I bring my girl? Yo, girl, I've never heard you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now he engaged.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. So when it comes to trying to find wellness for myself, when it comes to mental wellness, mental health, has been a little strange because you can find some of it online, but then you want to make sure like, okay, am I using the type of tips that actually will help me, the specific person that I am, the specific person that might have had certain trauma, certain things culturally, how do I know how to find the right thing for me? It can become overwhelming. These days, it feels like there's advice for everything. Cold plunges, gratitude journals, screen detoxes. But how do you know what actually works for you? With the internet and information overload about mental health and wellness, it can be a struggle to know what's true, what actions to take place or to make happen these days, right? Well, using trusted resources and talking to a live therapist can help get you personalized recommendations and help you break through all the noise. I know when I worked with my therapist, her knowing my background, her knowing my triggers, because, you know, a lot of times we don't lead with, these are the things that wind me up. These are the things that, Her knowing the obstacles that I go through mentally all the time allowed her to know what things to do with me to help me overcome those obstacles, to help me overcome those triggers, to help me get out of my own way and to deal with things that just really unsettled me. And I don't think there would have been any other way for me to work through those things if it had not been for my therapist. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform and has served over 5 million people globally. And it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. Wow. It's convenient too. You can join a session with a therapist at the click of a button. And what's great is that you can fit it into your busy life, right? And you can switch therapists at any time at no extra cost. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Talk it out with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/argue. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/argue.
Argue.
And now back to the show.
So it's just like, you can't tell me what is going on in the world when I can probably, if I were to sit down and think about it, probably close to over 1,000 men throughout my life that I know that I can name off, keep it from 2-3 degrees of separation, find out what they doing in life. And right now they are married and they love their wives.
Excuse me, I belched. Yeah, I currently, our only, I think we only have two friends that are single. One is Tony Baker.
Three.
Another one is just because him and his wife got a divorce, but they still halfway together because they live together still.
Okay, I'm talking about your homegirls.
I'm talking about men.
Oh, men. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they still basically together.
I'm talking because the conversation usually swayed towards men.
So
men. I don't know. I know. So I know two.
So that's two. I can think of one more, but he don't count because you're talking about Tori's little brother. Like, he's still young and in these streets. Like,
he's a baby.
I was literally trying to think, who do I know? I would have to go to my friend's younger siblings.
Yeah.
And he's young, yeah. I'm thinking of my boys and dudes that they know.
When I look at my nephews, they're all, while they're not married, they're all in committed relationships.
Yes. Both sides.
Even the one in prison. committed relationships. So I don't know.
I got a cousin in prison right now, and he's in there for something that I hope he never gets out. And that's my first cousin. I hope they keep his ass locked up. He's married.
Which cousin? Oh.
Fine. I don't care. That can know.
I was like, you covered the mic, but your mouth.
Said it loud. And I would love to let him know that I hope he never gets out. Anyway, he married.
So all that to say that
I got one cousin that ain't married. But he still don't be out here. He actually has custody, I think, of all his kids.
Oh, uh-huh.
He's got two. He's got two. Another one he claims as his own. And the kids live with him.
I do have a cousin that's not married. No, women, do I have two? I have two cousins that aren't married. That's it. And I got a lot of cousins.
Yeah, Liana, you know who I'm talking about.
I got a lot of cousins.
I mean, he ain't like, I wouldn't be like, you need to date him. No, but. he do be taking care of his kids.
So
and the other one, he's trash. But
I honestly, so when my homegirls are like, set me up, hook me up, I'm like, I don't know how to because I don't know any of these guys. I don't even know. I'm be honest, I don't know where they are.
And anytime I get that, specifically out here in California, I always tell them, go down south and find you a man.
Mm-hmm.
Second to last dude I knew that was actively looking for a wife, he did just that. His wife is from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He I said, feel like bet.
If you're in your 30s or 40s and you are a woman and you're still like looking for a dude, find these divorced or widowed men. Those are the ones that still usually have the concept of marriage is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that usually are like,
yeah. And don't get me wrong. Just me being out here in the car world and all that, I do be running into these older black men that think they still out here dating. Like, I hear it, I see it, I hear them talking, and I'm like, because that's what I say. Well, you always hanging around a bunch of men. They trash. You don't want to be around these men.
Let me tell you about this Instagram I watched earlier today, and then we'll finally do our first segment. I'm on a, can I play it? Is it too long? I sent it to you. I was in the bed. When I was in the bed laughing, I was laughing at this. Y'all, my saved post is ridiculous. I have so many saved posts because I'm usually watching stuff that I can't watch out loud at the time and I want to come back to it, so I save it. This one is a sketch, and it reminds me of the older men that used to hit on me when I was a minor, unfortunately. Oh, but it was also funny because I'm like, why don't these men grow the hell up? Okay, hold on. Get ready.
You did get us off track, Applejack.
I know. Okay, here we go.
So where'd he go? He went outside?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to just shoot it to you straight before you come back in here.
he's a lady.
This right here is called a bankroll. This is a bankroll. Now, as far as I'm concerned, this is yours. This is you. This ain't mine.
Look right.
This pocket change right here. If you ain't interested, that's fine by me, but I'm telling you something right there. That ignorant fool out there, he ain't got it. Nowhere near. So. Huh? I'm letting you know. See, he ain't got no money. He ain't never gonna have no money. That's just the truth of the matter. Don't say nothing, because I don't want him thinking that I'm talking to you. But I'm letting you know right now, you with the connection.
Get to one part.
You with the connection. And yeah, I live here with him, but hey, that's just more money in my pocket.
Hold on.
Nice thing like you need to be taken care of. I could tell he ain't taking care of you. He ain't done nothing.
And I kept hearing that.
He ain't Neiman Marcus yet, has he?
That's the one.
He said what?
He ain't took you to Neiman Marcus yet, has he? Those are the ones that will forever be foul and trifling.
I'm not going to say who, because y'all all know this dude. Well, y'all know of him. We was out having cigars one night, and we was like, oh, it's closed. This lounge is closing down. Oh, y'all can come back to my spot. Cool. So he went to pay for his drink or something. He pulls out this massive wad of money, and I'm like, if you got it like that, you wouldn't need to be carrying around a fat roll of hundreds and fifties. That ain't impressing. It's definitely not impressing me. Somebody that knows people with real money, mm-hmm. They don't carry cash like this.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to have Marcus tell me who he's talking about.
You don't know him, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know what? No, sometimes they carry around all that money because they dirty, meaning when you washing money, you can't put it in.
Yeah. He just met me. I could rob you right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here you go.
Marcus do be struggling covering up his big mouth. He's like,
did I struggle?
It's Because he's thinking about covering the mic for sound. Yeah.
I need
Jackson Smith. His sister.
Is Jackson Smith Angel.
Blur that out if you need to.
Oh, so good. Okay, let's go into our first segment. We already 30 minutes into this podcast.
We're having a good time. It's all right.
We're not going to do In My Feelings because we'll let the main topic that we'll get to hopefully quickly be
I got
something
a couple things in my feelings. What?
No. We're not going to do it. We're going to do Tank Slip Pride. Tank Slip Pride. Tell them what Tank Slip Pride is, baby.
So Tank Slip Pride is a segment that we do, and we talk about one or two or three or four, which is all four of our boys. They are our pride. That's our Tank Slip Pride.
Yes. So my Tank Slip Pride story, is about my baby, Amar. So this weekend, we went on the annual Jack and Jill camping trip that my chapter has. This is just the second annual one. We went last year.
Really?
I know, sorry. We went last year. That was our first activity with the chapter as a member. And we had a good time. I knew we would. Camping or being out in the kind is not wilderness, but being out in nature is one of the things I know my husband enjoys. And then also for my sons, it allows them to be a little wilder, which they also enjoy. But we went back again this year, and Amar, our 6-year-old, was there was one other boy that was a day younger than him, literally an actual day. The youngest child there. He had a good time, but it is so interesting watching this boy as he grows up in the things that he says. We were on our way to the location driving. I'm working because I have a whole bunch of stuff for these volunteer positions that I need to get done this week. The boys have been meaning to put this thing on my phone that helps you with car sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Little Marcus showed it to me a while ago. And then recently, Kai said, "Mom, you want me to put it on your phone?" So I gave the phone to Kai. I said, "Here, put it on my phone." He's trying to work on it. It's not going well. Little Marcus like, "Kai, give me the phone." So he starts working on it. And Kai's like, "See, you can't do it." And he's like, "Give me the phone, Marcus. Give me the phone." Amar, who's sitting between them in his car seat, he was like, "Kai, just let Marcus cook." And I quite literally had to stop what I was doing because I don't understand. I don't understand what soul is living in this baby, okay? Because he's still a baby. He still wants to do things up underneath me a lot of times. He sometimes wants independence, but sometimes he wants to be near his mom. Another, for instance, we're leaving the pool. Sorry, our lights went out for a second. We're leaving the pool and Amar, got up in that booty.
God dang, Mike.
Mike got up in that
booty. Assaulted me. Ho-ass Mike.
How'd I get there before me? So during this camping trip, we only see little Marcus in the morning. That's it. After that, we don't see him because he's with. Why look like you holding back a laugh?
Because I about throw this damn thing through the wall.
We don't see little Marcus most of the trip. He's hanging out with the teenage boys in the cabin next door. So because we're never seeing him, Amar looks at me. He said, "Mom, do you think Marcus is having a good time hanging out with his friends all day?" And I said, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "Yeah, I think he's having a good time." But it was just like, what is this introspective thought coming from? Why are you like, "I wonder how my big brother's doing, if he's doing all right." So that's my Tank Slip Pride story, is that Amar's little personality, while he still wasn't like, it was so funny because adults, he's so adorable. He's the youngest, one of the youngest there. Mm-hmm. They're wanting to be in his face and be like, oh my God, because so many people have older kids.
And he's like,
how are you? And they're like, how, what's your name? And I'm like, he's not going to answer you, so give me a second. Answer her. But yeah, he's a sweetie pie. What's your
name? Yeah, when he, just real quick, when he said that in the truck, we was on our way there, and I said, these are the type of things that he says all the time. Just something that throws me all the way off. And by the time we get to the podcast and I bring him up, I'm like, I can't remember. This is the type of stuff he says. I hear him say stuff all the time. I'm like, I need to start documenting it just so I can write down a list of it. Because this boy, the stuff comes out of his mouth. I'm like, especially when he don't know you can hear him.
Yeah.
Just the stuff he says when he's on his tablet with McKinley, Ray, and all them. He just... like, who are... he sounds like the oldest one out of them sometimes.
Yeah, he's something else. He really is.
You guys need to get more organized, okay?
Yeah.
Like, this type of stuff he says. Just calm down. Just calm down. Let Sian Kai be going through it. Guys, chill. Like,
oh, my God. I'll tell you. I'm going to do a little annex to this little story real fast. So the last night, we were by the campfire with some of the other adults. First, the kids made s'mores. Then they all went back to different cabins to kick it. So, like, the kids that are Kai and Sai's age, they were at somebody's cabin. And then the teens were at another cabin. So Amar, obviously, his preference, if he's going to be with any other kids, is to be with the kids around Kai and Sai's age. Yeah. So he goes with them. Then... all of a sudden, out of the darkness,
because it's on gravel. We hear something running toward us. We're like, what is that? And we look up, it's Amar.
Yeah, by himself running to us. And our, where the bonfire is around the corner. So you can't really see the cabin.
Yeah, and it's darkness and wilderness.
Yeah.
He's not running out of fear. He's just coming to where we are. It's like...
and I said, did you tell Sian Kai that you were coming over here? And he said, yes. I said, Amar, tell me the truth. He looked at me, didn't say anything. They eventually shook his head no. I said, Kai and Sai are going to, they are going to be panicked here in a couple of minutes when they realize their brother is not around them. Another mom saw Amar out in the wilderness by herself, and she was like, hey, baby, where are you supposed to be? And, of course, Amar doesn't answer her. He doesn't say anything.
This is a gated area, so, like, you can't get really out. Ain't nobody coming in that area. And nobody. It would take some effort to get out of that area. Yeah. If you're not. So, like, we pretty much know all but, like, two families in that whole area.
So, probably about 10 minutes later, I see Kai and Sai coming from the darkness. Walking over.
About to cry.
I said, y'all just now realized y'all's brother was gone? He didn't say anything to us. He didn't tell us he was leaving. He did not say anything.
Hey, one day, I may have said it on here. They were out front playing.
Mm-hmm.
Amar ended up coming into the house.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't tell his brothers. So... I heard him come in and I heard him go upstairs. I ain't pay no attention, but I was like, I didn't even think about Sian Kai not knowing where he was. And finally I see them run around to the backyard. They looking. They run back around. I was like, they must be in the front yard. Then they come in the house. Kai's looking around. I didn't even say nothing to him. I could just see the concern on both their faces.
Yeah.
So Kai ran upstairs and sees him. When I tell you, they tear in on him. Oh, they was... quit running off like that. You need to let us. I mean, they was big brothers for real. Like, don't make me take his bed off and whoop your ass, because they got so mad. They took the remote from him and started yelling.
Yes. One of the moms had told me earlier that day at the pool, she was like, your twins are such good big brothers. They really look after their baby brother. I said, because they know the consequence is death. Like, they know. I don't want to hear no excuses. Y'all better take care of him if it's just y'all. So the way they were like, he didn't tell us. He did not. I was like, Amar, you cannot do that to them. You have to say something. He was like, okay. With his little goofy self. But anyways, that's my Tasty Pride stories. What's yours?
So my Tasty Pride story, again, the camera trip this weekend, seeing the independence that all these boys have. They're just naturally all independent anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing them, like I said, we had this campus situation set up to where it was gated off, so we weren't with, like, all the other people. And these kids are just running from house to house. These are basically little bitty, they cabins, but there's basically a house. They got kitchen, showers, bathroom, loft. And it's kids inside ours. We don't know who these kids are. They just running, going upstairs. They're playing spades.
Yes, they're playing spades on our little deck.
On our deck. They was playing in the loft first night.
These are the 10 and 9-year-olds and 8-year-olds. They're the ones playing spades.
Not the older kids. So they, apparently they go to somebody's spot and they have French fries. So we don't know
this. It was chicken nuggets and French fries. Yeah.
Chicken nuggets and French fries. So we come back to, I don't know where we were. We come back. Angel starts fixing some food. She's like, where's the ketchup? And I'm looking around. She was like, what'd you do with the ketchup? I said, I used the ketchup right here. I said it back right here. So we was like, who done came up in here and took our goddamn ketchup and didn't say nothing? So I don't know, hour or two later, I already know what happened. I didn't know what had happened, but I knew why.
We knew who would have removed the ketchup.
Yeah. So I looked at Kai. I said, Kai, go get the damn ketchup. Oh, okay. Because I knew it was him. Then he came back. Yeah, so they fixed the chicken nuggets and fries, and no one had ketchup. So I knew you just. We went and bought that ketchup. They could have went and bought some goddamn ketchup.
The whole weekend was people needing to use things in other people's cabins. Who got foil? Who got olive oil?
Nonstop. Somebody got some tongs.
The whole
but
weekend.
Seeing them, and like, we didn't see Marcus until he came in to go sleep. He was gone.
I'm talking about his teenage 3 a.m. is when he was coming back to the cabin.
And that where they're at, you can always find them because the doors and windows are closed, but they are loud.
Yeah.
I mean, them boys were, it was one point in time we had to, I went over and was like, y'all too damn loud. Cause it through the wood didn't matter. It was a decibel of 90 coming out of that thing. And of course, Amar running around with the younger boys, just seeing their independence and them being in that environment of, we not depending on mama and daddy. We just going to go out here and do our thing.
They did whatever they want to. Marcus, my husband, he was with the dads. They talking about aerospace.
That's what I was about to say. When you was talking about Neil not wanting to be more intelligent. Usually I can hold my own in most conversations, regardless of who I'm talking to. But one of the dads is a pilot. He went to flight school. Mm-hmm. Before he did that, he was in the Marines. He, like, controlled his own squadron, which he didn't even want to talk about. He was like, tell him what you do. He was like, oh, yeah, I'm a pilot. He was like, nah, tell him what you do. He said, I went to flight school. Tell him what you did before that. He wouldn't get, he said, no. He and then broke down his like thing of like what he did because he's too humble. So we got to sitting there talking, and he kind of triggered in with me because we started talking about, you know, aerospace a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, he perked up when I knew a little bit. Then he started talking, and I was like,
and now you passed, you're surpassing me.
Now I feel like I have my associates again because that's what I
have. Okay, I remember now.
It
I
was
got
a couple words he said. I was like, whoo.
Yeah, I would have said, what does that mean?
No, I couldn't pronounce it, so it didn't matter what it meant.
Would you rewind? And what was that came
no,
out
everybody
your mouth?
Was just like, oh.
No, but they kept picking with Marcus. They kept picking with you because anything that was like mechanical that weekend that the other dads couldn't figure out.
They were just, here he go. Go on, let him over. Here he go. So the whole time, like, there was a fire pit. They couldn't figure out how to get it lit. And so I come over and I was like, oh, it's just. And the worst thing you can do around some black men is know how to do something.
Yeah.
Because they just going to tear in on you.
Mm-hmm.
Only black people can take something good and turn it bad. Oh, yeah, let me go over here. See, you know you are messed up because anytime somebody say, well, all you got to do is, they said, oh, that's a 50673. Yeah, that's all you got to do. You turn it. I was like, and they would not let it go. Couldn't get the lights on. The pilot couldn't figure that out. I was like, oh, he said, now, what did you do? Then everybody else, oh, so all you got to do.
Oh, no, at the end of the night, they were like, oh, they want us to clean up because the lights will go off and they don't want us to have the thing out. Marcus was like, I already retimed him. They were like, the women were like, you did what? One was like, oh, of course he retimed him. You know, he went back there and he could probably change out the lights completely.
But, so talking to the pilot and just hearing some of the stuff coming out of his mouth and how he would, and I would stop him. I was like, no, 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 no. You're not just going to skate over what you just said. because he would talk about like flight paths and stuff, and then me and him started geeking out on some other stuff. But talking to people like it, it's just like, wow.
You're so smart.
Like, there's people running the country that don't have a quarter of the knowledge of you.
Yeah.
Why is that legal?
Listen, it's insane. Main discussion, though, I wanted to talk about, and at some point in time, you can weave in how you tore up your fingers. So what we did this weekend is what I consider, it's like a variation on what I would call my utopia. What would probably be a dream or heaven on earth for me, per se, is to live in a suburban neighborhood with Black neighbors who I could talk to frequently, could step over to their house, have some tea, chit-chat, go back to my house, know my kids might be at somebody else's house or their kids are at my house, but multiple neighbors like that, where if you're in the middle of cooking and you're like, oh, shoot, we ran out of this, I'm just gonna walk across here and get this ingredient from this person and I'll take it back over. To where having a block party in the summer is like something that they're like, obviously, yeah, we all gonna come out. Everybody gonna have a good time. That is literally something that I know would be probably not achievable in my lifetime due to where I live. But a suburban, that's very easy to happen if you live in an urban place where there is more of a variety in income, where you're like a hood adjacent or in the hood. A lot of times in Black metropolitan places, or even not.
In the country.
In the country where there are Black people.
That's how I grew up. Yeah.
That's how they end up like kind of squishing us together is near the projects, somewhere close, but you don't get the suburban feel.
Right.
I want suburbia with Black neighbors. And so going on this camping trip gives me that for 2 days. Because we were in a little gated cabin community, and literally I could go to any of my neighbor's house, knock on the door, have a cocktail, go back. It was nothing to do that. That's one reason why I had wanted to go to Martha's Vineyard, not for the elitism of it all, but because I know that is when Black families are all going to the same place at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the opportunity of, oh, a bunch of the Black kids are going to the beach. A bunch of the Black dads are going to do this. A bunch of the Black moms are going to do this. Whatever it is, it's a time where all of that can happens. And as so Nisha just asked, is Ladera Heights or Baldwin Hills like that? Yes, kind of, sort of. It's very Black. It hasn't been fully gentrified. But I will say this, Baldwin Hills overlooks some raggediness.
Baldwin Hills overlooks the hood.
And it's expensive to live. Yeah. It's expensive to live in Baldwin Hills. So it might be around people who are more affluent when it comes to money. But you, as soon as you drive down, you're going to be reminded of they're just not taking care of our people.
Right. Because I kept hearing about Baldwin Hills and I imagined it a specific way, when I finally went and I was just like, okay, this is nice, but why we gotta overlook the hood like it?
Like,
that just makes me feel like, well, why ain't we doing something to help? You know what I'm saying?
Why are we doing something to help? Like, this. But yes, Ebony, I'm sure you have stuff like that in Atlanta. I'm sure I know PG County. PG County and places in, especially Maryland, where Housewives of Potomac, that's what it's called. There is a lot of Black money there. So living in and I'm not even talking about, and it got to be a rich suburban town. I just want it to be suburban.
Yeah. Like where I grew up is, you know, where my granny lived, and we used to go out there. Most of the people around there were my family, and the people that weren't my family were like family.
Yeah.
So that's the type of community back in the day. I mean, people didn't lock their doors. Nobody used their front door.
Right.
You came to the side or the back of everybody's house. You would be out there. I'm gonna go over here to Auntie so and so, use the bathroom. I'm gonna go over here to Uncle so and so, get something to eat. I mean, as kids, we're in their cabinets. It's not like, You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like, literally, this is like, my and parents would go Marcus, out there.
It's in the country. So his is in the country. Yeah. It's a little bit in the sticks. But it's still that like, the kids could play in the streets.
Yeah, we were like, I talked about it on here. It was a couple years ago when I took the boys out there. And the twins, they had been out there before, but not in the summertime. And I literally opened up the door and they shot out of the truck like a bunch of dogs and just took off running and just disappeared. They went playing. Didn't see them for most of the day. Mm-hmm. They were just gone. And I wasn't concerned. I didn't wonder where they went because that's where I grew up. That's where I fell and hurt myself. That's where I got in trouble. That's where I had fun. Mm-hmm. That's why we rode bikes. And so I didn't think about it. So we walk, and they finally found me hours later. I'm sitting on my uncle's porch. We talking. So they come back out of breath. I was like, what's up? Y'all want something? They was like, oh, we want to get something drink. Uncle Charles said, go on in the house. Get you something in. They went in the house, came back out. They were standing on the patio. I said, what y'all doing now? They was like, nothing. I said, well, go ahead. Why you over here? Then they took off running again. Like,
yeah.
And it warmed my heart because I'm like, yeah, this is what it's supposed to be like. But I see what you're saying, like to do that in like a suburban area. Granted, yeah. This ain't, when she says out in the sticks, it ain't like wilderness or nothing. It's like, it's a neighborhood, but it is in the country.
Oh, it feels like it's surrounded by wilderness.
It is kind of.
Yeah, I was going to say it is surrounded by wilderness.
It's farmland. It ain't even wilderness.
And so like places like somebody mentioned Inglewood. That doesn't, it's, I'm not attracted to that because it doesn't feel suburban. I wouldn't feel comfortable with my kids playing in the streets of Inglewood.
Like this community, this, and what she's talking about, if someone drove up in there that didn't live there, everybody would be like, who is that? Whose car is that? Why is that car up here?
Mm-hmm.
Like literally, it could be loud. It could be a party. It could be 100 people outside. If somebody turns down that street, everybody stops like, who is that?
And like, also, everybody knows to drive extremely slow. Yeah. Nobody is about to be going no 30, 35 miles on this street. They are going to be crawling at about 5 miles an hour.
Literally. Because for one, it don't even feel right to drive fast up through America. Because it's just like, you've always done that. Where I grew up, where I went to stay all the time, that was just a thing. You pull in that lane and your foot don't touch the gas. You just let the car coast.
Yeah.
And everybody does that because you know kids is running back and forth.
Correct.
People are outside. People are walking. They may not even look to see if a car is coming because people drive slow.
So that's like what we had this weekend is that the kids could play in the middle of the gravel street because nobody was driving faster than 5 miles an hour. So the kids could literally see the car and walk to get out of the way, not run. Walk to move out of the way of the car.
Oh my God, our homegirl driving through that damn campground.
I know, she almost hit a child.
We was like, we were on the phone with her. We kept slow down. She kept speeding up.
She's like, am I going too fast? Yes, you cannot go 15 miles an hour in here. You have to go 5 because the kids are already acclimated to this street is safe. So the kids are not moving out of the way fast.
Right.
They're on their bike going in front of you, still doing a circle before they finally move out of your way. Yeah,
and they're like riding bikes and scooters across the street and not looking.
At all.
Because they didn't need to. Everybody's parked in a camper is a
Right. So what does your utopia look like? What does that look like for you?
I ain't even really thought about my utopia. I remember a couple years ago, Angel asked me about you. I remember you asked me about that, like living in like a Baldwin Hills, Ladera Heights type thing.
Yeah, we were looking at View Park. Yeah.
And I was just like, that does interest me. However, I also like to gentrify other people's areas. Like, I don't mind being that one black neighbor because I'm going to have all the events. My people going to show up loud. It's going to be a whole bunch of people. You're going to have to look at me. Even if you don't smile, I'm going to speak and wave to you. And I'm going to love it even more if I know you don't want me to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good morning. Not even good morning. What's happening? Like, I'm going to be that thorn in your side to make you want to leave. And I can tell somebody, hey, there's a house beside me for sale.
Right.
As much as I like to be around my people, I'm like, I feel like I'm here to serve a different purpose.
Never just serve a different purpose. Let me
so
just.
So, yeah, I do like that because it's like, again, I think it's not as as top of my list, because even the neighborhood, like where in Winburn where I grew up, it was not as much as that, but like the end of our street was a court. Mm-hmm. And all the everybody around us had kids around our age. So we were up and down the street mm-hmm. all day, every day. And this is in the city. All day, every day. We were, it's not even hood adjacent. This was in the hood, just our street wasn't hood.
Yeah.
Two streets over, don't you go over there.
Yeah.
but like we were up and down our street all day, every day. So I grew up like it and I experienced it, like I said, when I went to my granny's out in the country, same thing. So I do want my kids to experience that. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy that. Even in where my mom lives now, when we first moved up there, there were kids on our street. We were the same age. Mm-hmm. And we would go out and be able to run and play in the streets. And my friend across the street, his name was Bobby. He used to go over there, play in their basement all the time. Mm-hmm. So I had that even, you know, once they moved out of that neighborhood, went to a new neighborhood, got a house built. So I want my kids to experience that, and that's why I enjoy them going to Kentucky every year. But I don't know. I think I would enjoy it because, like, again, this weekend reminded me of mm-hmm. – I remember seeing the patio full of my dad and my uncles and cousins, yeah. all the men. They over there playing poker, smoking, drinking. Like
everybody. I mean, it was just like everybody was looking after everybody.
Yeah, it was at one point in time. It was crazy. It was started off as me and Al. We were just on the patio, and the dad would walk by. Hey, can we? Yeah, because you had to come into the cabin to get to the patio, and one after another. Next thing you know, it was like 12 of us on the porch.
Mm-hmm. They drunk a bunch of bald heads and one with
bald heads and They done drunk up all my bourbon and whiskey.
Well, you knew that was going to happen. there was something I was going to say. Oh, our cul-de-sac, I think, could have possibly maybe eventually shifted. See, people don't like to move.
Oh, I definitely started wearing a do-rag.
We had, in our cul-de-sac, if there was five houses, three of the five houses had black families in them when we got there.
Three of the five.
I was like, oh, shucks. Look at what's happening. And then if you include the house beside us, there was another black family. Well, at least the wife is black and children.
We don't include
biracial. Yeah. Yes, I do.
No.
So I was like.
Absolutely not.
Oh, shoot. What did we do? And then the middle black family left and moved to Texas.
They did.
Shifted the whole thing. But who are we closest with? The black family across the street from us.
Yeah. That's our people.
That they invite us over there. We've invited them to our house. They come over. They are sweet as pie.
Mm-hmm. Everybody up there is nice, though. Our cul-de-sac, everybody's friendly. Everybody's nice. Mm-hmm. Family directly beside us is extremely nice. Mm-hmm. Our kids play with their kids. But, yeah, the family across the street is like, if we out of town, we let them know. When they out of town, They're like, hey, make sure you do. All right, cool.
And this is not because I don't say I want an all black community because I don't think that other cultures have things that I would enjoy and that are valuable. But I think about here in LA, there's a such thing as Koreatown. Mm-hmm. There's a such thing as Little Armenia. There is something about being around people that have a similar culture to you that allows for that culture to breathe more freely. It allows for traditions to be passed down easier. So when there was the mass genocide in Armenia, there was also a mass exodus of those people to California. I think Glendale or Beverly Hills has the highest population of Armenian people.
Pasadena.
Glendale. Outside of Armenia. So they, even though they're in a different land, their culture has been preserved with being in a foreign land. They have churches here, like built churches for the Armenian Orthodox Christianity. They have so many things that they're able to do because they have kept their community. Yes, there's even Little Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. They have kept their community so tight and not allowed for too many outsiders to start to water down how they do their culture and how they pass down their culture.
Yeah, I remember we looked at a house out there and the looks that we got touring that house, people coming out looking like, and it wasn't like curiosity, it was like, we don't once you buying that house, we want enough hours to buy that house.
Right. And I'm sure one of them did.
It was, yeah, I'm sure one of them did.
So I would love for that to, just on the strength that these 8 and 9 and 10 year olds were playing spades, that is a part of Black American culture.
The fact that they look, let me tell you how young and inexperienced they are. They were calling the cards spades. They said, have you seen the spades that was around here? I said, the what? Spades, because I didn't know this is what they were trying to play. I said, the cards?
You talking about the other Black kids?
No. Sarah Kai said that.
Oh, they crazy.
So then the other little boy was like, I heard him say, he was like, can you guys play spades? They were like, yeah. He was like, but are you good, though? So they upstairs playing, and it's only 3 of them. I ain't say nothing.
Yeah, like, how y'all getting this?
Then they were talking about playing with money. I was like, these kids.
And they tried to get big Marcus, little Marcus to play with them. Kai, the other Kai, because there was
two
another
Kais,
Kai.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, you know how I play spades? Because we need a fourth player. He's like, you want to come out here with their little chains on and stuff? And but Sai had said at home before he even left, he was like, I would bring cards for us to play spades. He was like, but I don't want to spend an hour trying to teach people how to play.
What was funny is one of the parents, the kids were going to play. This is at that night. It was like, oh, they somewhere playing spades. And one of the parents was like, you need to go. She was like,
oh, yes.
This is the only chance you will get to ever learn how to play. You better go over there and learn because no one will teach you.
You
need to go over there, pay attention. And if they're willing to teach you, you need to go over there and play.
Learn it right now. So, yeah, it was beautiful to see a piece of my dream, if only for a day and a half or 2.5 days, kind of exist. But it now makes me crave wanting to reproduce that as many times throughout the year. Like, oh, there's a trip where everybody's going to something. Okay. Yeah. I want to be a part of it. Let's go. So anyways, tell them how you tore up your fingers.
So all the dads was over. No, we was about to cook. I think it was the first night, second night. Anyway, we was about to cook. Dads was over to the place. We fixing Kentucky Mules or Marcus Mules, as our group calls them. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we got ginger beer. So I'm pulling some of the ginger beers out of the refrigerator, and I pull a case out, set it on a thing. I go back to get another one. One of the bottles just spontaneously bust, like it just exploded. Mm. So I clean everything up, throw the bottle into the trash. A couple hours later, I'm about to cook some salmon and stuff. I got the trash, I pick it up, and I go pressing the thing that the salmon came in, you know, the little plastic thing that it opened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pushing that, and I'm pushing it down into the trash. Oh, yeah, push it down into the trash. No. My fingers hit the glass and basically filleted these two fingers. Now that she ain't listening. So basically just put the flaps down, got a paper towel, covered it until somebody had a first aid kit. So now you can come back. You can come back.
Oh, okay.
You can come back. So now I just, you can come back. So now, what you're seeing right now, I put a Band-Aid on them because to hold – so everything will grow back together. But then I got gauze and put on top to pad because I kept brushing. My fingers kept brushing against stuff, and it would hurt a lot. Anytime my fingers would touch something.
Stop talking because it's not sound-wise, you're not good. You had pushed the mic away and kept talking. I was like, the sound's going
to
be bad.
So I put gauze on top and then got some athletic tape to put just for padding. So it's not as bad as it looks here. Just basically two big Band-Aids on each one, and then I put padding just in case they hit anything. I'm not screeching in pain and falling to my knees like I was before, but that's what happened.
Lord have mercy. Y'all see, I can't take it. I can't even take hearing about it.
No, Angel did the same to her finger, and she didn't never looked at her finger. She just yelled for me and turned away, and I had to come in there and clean everything and wrap it up and bandage it up.
Mm.
I was like, I don't know how you're going to have 4 boys and not be able to do blood.
No, well, we're all going to find out, huh? Can't do it. Let us know in the comments, what does your black, I was about to say your
black. Your black ass do for the summer. Huh?
What does your utopia look like? What does it look like for you? Doesn't have to look like mine. I would love to hear.
Mine is actually the same.
You went through a game, but you said, no, I want a ginger fire.
No, that's what I enjoy doing. But if I were to have my have my cake and eat it too, I don't know, maybe we would have our own little section in theirs and it just grow and we colonize their space.
Like a disease.
That's
like
what happened. That's how Europe's did it. It spread like a virus, the Europe's. spread across this world like a virus. We was already traveling. Africans was already traveling continent to continent.
Oh my goodness. Trade.
Then the Europe said, let's call it our own.
All right, you beautiful, beautiful people. We will be back next week. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. I love this conversation. I thought it was really great. Again, you can follow me at That Chick Angel pretty much across every platform. Even if that's not my handle, if you search it, you'll find me. You can find Marcus at Marcus Ain't on the Gram on Instagram, Marcus Ain't on the Book on Facebook, and Tank Don't Talk on TikTok. You can get your bonnet and robe matching set with some affirmations in a therapy journal at shopmamalikes.com. You can get beard and body butter at at manshit.com. I keep saying get manshit. That is the defunct IG page that doesn't get any love.
You just do it right. Quit messing up. Keep talking. Go, since you're going to do everything. Hurry up.
You can still get into our Patreon for the low of $5. Talk to the Girls, Mommy Confession, Once School Starts Back Up is coming back. And you can watch bonus episodes. Excuse me, not bonus. You can get early access to the regular episode of Here's the Thing here on our Patreon as well. I think I covered all the bases.
Mm-hmm.
Check out our sponsor, BetterHelp.com. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys later. Okay? Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.